Universities are coming back into session for the spring semester just as a holiday spike in coronavirus cases is beginning to ease somewhat. Liz Schlemmer has been following some of the latest developments in higher education and talking to administrators around the UNC system. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Dave.
So universities in the state had kind of mixed results in executing their reopening plans in the fall semester. What did they learn and what's new for this semester?
Universities want to come back stronger this spring, and they're up against greater community spread statewide than there was in the fall. So many of them have created stronger protocols. For one, we've seen a lot of delayed starts to the semester, some planned, as well as some schools announced further delays to their in-person classes when the COVID cases were high after the holidays. We've also seen beefed up entrance policies for students who are coming back to campus from their winter break. All the universities I spoke to are requiring back to campus COVID testing for at least some of their students, whether that's those living on campus or those who have an in-person class. Here's Michelle Ball from Elizabeth City State University.
So we just started move-in, and our process has been that we are mandating that students either arrive to campus with a negative test that they have taken within 72 hours of their move-in date, or if they do not have a negative test, we are doing testing on site.
And many colleges are bumping up surveillance testing of asymptomatic students. That's a significant increase in testing from last semester when the focus was really on testing people who had symptoms or those who sought out a test. Duke University did wide-scale surveillance testing last semester, and their infection rates looked a lot better than average.
So that university-based surveillance testing protocols sort of vary across the UNC system. Give us a sense of what different schools are doing.
Well, schools have varying capacity to do this testing. They also had varying levels of success last semester that might be playing into their risk tolerance and how much they want to test now. UNC Chapel Hill is requiring twice weekly testing for their undergraduate students that are on campus or taking an in-person class. NC State is requiring weekly testing for students living on campus, including those living in Greek housing. And ECU and UNC Greensboro are doing weekly testing of at least 25% of the students living in dorms. So you can imagine that's about once a month for those students. And when I talked to Elizabeth City State, they said they were just going to try to do more testing drives so that they would get monthly drives of asymptomatic students. So kind of a big range there.
So one thing that's new for schools now are vaccinations, and the vaccine is becoming more available. Looking to the future, what do we know about what universities' role is in helping facilitate those vaccinations on their campus communities?
The UNC system is encouraging universities to become vaccination sites. They've created a formal process for that. And I wouldn't be surprised if many, if not all, UNC schools eventually open vaccination sites. But the question right now is how soon? At UNC Greensboro, they're in early talks with local health officials to possibly become a vaccination hub for the local education sector, which might include K-12 employees, as well as other colleges in Guilford County. And the HBCUs in UNC Pembroke have received freezers to store vaccines for the local distribution, and they're also looking to become community hubs for vaccinations.
Universities are also preparing for some seismic changes in their budgets. What do we know on that at this point?
I have to say the same thing that I've been saying for months, which is that colleges are still tallying the cost of the pandemic. They still don't know. But the good news is that more federal aid is on its way very soon from the Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund. There's about $280 million across the UNC system that's on its way. That federal aid does come with strict guidance, though, from the U.S. Department of Education. That's explained here by UNC System President Peter Hans.
I had a painful lesson in this last year, both at the community colleges and since joining the UNC system. This guidance is not broad. It is very detailed, very specific, and is subject to change on multiple occasions.
So this new pot of money is more than the previous CARES Act, and it's supposed to be more flexible. But no one I talked to knows yet exactly what the limits are going to be. One lingering question is, how far will this aid go in covering all the costs of the pandemic?
Well, and that question seems to point to the potential for budget cuts. What do we know about universities and how they're planning for those?
Most universities have had to make some temporary cuts already, especially to areas that had direct revenue hits. But the only place we've seen talk so far about more substantial budget cuts is UNC Chapel Hill. Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz says this stems from longer-term issues there.
When I became chancellor, I saw that it had been nearly a decade since we had a balanced budget at the university and that we needed to fix this.
He's directing deans and heads of departments to plan to reduce their salary pool and their operating expenses for the next two fiscal years. But what's happening at Chapel Hill doesn't necessarily spell trouble for anyone else. You know, there are some good things going on in North Carolina around the pandemic. The state was in better shape going in than many other states. Tax revenue didn't take as much of a hit as was originally predicted. And enrollment was really strong across the UNC system. So all that's good news that might help protect other public colleges from big budget cuts. Once we move past thinking about all the pandemic-related expenses, the next big hurdle for public universities is whether they might lose funding next year in the state budget, and we'll have to wait and see.
Liz Schlemmer covers education and higher education for WUNC. Thanks, Liz.
You're welcome, Dave.